Good to see you. And it definitely is good to be seen. Amen. Open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, you can lift up your hands and our ushers will be more than glad to give you one. You're under no obligation to take one, but our goal here is to teach you the Word of God. And so just like if you went to a school or in a college setting and you have a textbook for that class, well, the Bible is our textbook for life, and that's what we're teaching out of this morning. And so if you'd like to have one, we want to give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. That Bible is yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason weren't able to bring it with you this Sunday morning, you can simply give it back to the ushers at the end of the service. Jeremiah chapter 1. If on the screens, if you can pull up Psalms chapter 139, and verse 15 through 16 in the Amplified. Psalms 139, verses 15 through 16 in the Amplified. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. For the past couple of months on Wednesday nights and then here or there on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about walking with God. Amen. We can, as individuals, walk with the Lord. We can know our God. We can fellowship with Him. And God longs for that. He longs to get to know you. He longs to fellowship with you. He longs to speak to you, to direct you, to guide you in life. And He longs to do that because He loves you. And just like any natural father or any natural parent would love to fellowship with their children, God longs to fellowship with you. But even more than that, He longs for you to do His will. And friend, I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind. I'm going to live a life pleasing unto Him. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And the only way for me to do His will is to know His will. I've got to know His will for my life. You've got to know His will for your life. And we see the will of God revealed to us through Scriptures. That's the general will of God. How many of you know it's the will of God for you to walk in love? You ought to be sweet. And nice. Turn to your neighbor and say, be sweet. Be sweet. You ought to be sweet and nice and patient and kind and all of those wonderful things. That's the will of God concerning you. So we ought to do that. That's the general will of God. It applies to all of us. We ought to live by faith. That's the will of God. And so anything we see through Scriptures is the will of God. And you and I ought to seek to live that out, to live a life pleasing unto Him. But what about the specific will of God? The general will of God is for us to walk in love and to live by faith and all of those things. But what about the specific will of God for your life? Does He have a plan specifically tailor-made for you? The answer to that question is emphatically yes. All throughout Scriptures, you see God giving assignments to men. Works that they should do in the earth, places that they should be, places that they should live. You see God revealing His will to man. We see the Scripture, and friends, this is a beautiful, marvelous Scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 139. I like it best in the Amplified. The psalmist is talking here about being formed in his mother's womb. And watch what it says. It says, my frame, he's talking to God, was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Go down to verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Now watch this. And in your book, all. What does the word all mean? All means all. It means all. All the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. Let's keep that up there and let's read it again real slow. It says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book, all, every one of them, the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there were none of them. Do you understand what the psalmist here is saying? He's saying that God not only has a specific will of God for your life, but for each day of your life. For every day of your life, God's got a plan for it. Before your life ever came to life on this earth, before you ever born from your mother's womb, God had a destiny for you, a plan for you. And people think, well, okay, God's got a plan for me. Well, he does, but he's got a plan not just for you. He's got a plan for today for you. For right now, your life was written in a book the way it should go. Not necessarily the way it would go, the way it should go. Your life was already planned out, scripted by God. He made a destiny for it. He predestined your life. Now, people obviously know this doctrine of predestination, and they think the will of God will just be done because God's predestined it. Now, this is the exciting thing about God, is yes, God has predestined your life. He's pre-planned it before you were ever born, what it should look like. But it's still up to you and me to choose that life. We've got to choose it. We've got to choose his plan. We've got to choose his will. Think about this scripture. Today, there's a plan for your life. For tomorrow, there's a plan for your life. And how many people wake up with the mindset that I need to carry out God's will for my life today? How many people are aware of the fact that when we woke up this morning, God had a plan for today? A plan for my life for today. Friends, my goal through teaching on this is to simply make you aware of the fact that God's got an amazing plan for your life. It's amazing. I mean, he's pre-planned it. He's called you to something. He's called you to someone. He's called you to individuals. He's called you to do something in this life. He's pre-planned it before you ever came on this earth. And it's up to me and you to find out what that plan is. Let's read here in Jeremiah. And if while we're reading this, if on the screens you can pull up Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified. We're looking here at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, he's talking to Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Did God know you before you were ever formed in your mother's belly? Yes, he did. God's not a respecter of persons. He knew you before you were ever born, meaning for your spirit, if you will, he assigned a purpose before he ever gave it a body. That's an interesting fact to think about. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And Jeremiah goes on to explain why that can't be, but God won't back down. He tells Jeremiah, before you were ever in your mother's womb, before you ever had flesh, before you ever born from that womb, I knew you. I knew you. And I gave you a purpose. I gave your life a plan. Friends, it's the same with you. It's the same with me. Before we ever were ever formed in our mother's womb, God knew us. He knew us. And he gave us an assignment before we ever hit this earth. He gave us a life to live. Now notice this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. I love this scripture. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew," watch this, "why? That we may do those good works." Notice, God's got good works for you to do. "Good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should. Everyone say should. Should, not would, should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Keep this up there, if you will, on the screens. Notice a couple of things about this scripture. Number one, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, God gave you a plan. Part of that plan is for you to do some works. There's some works you are to do on this earth. There's some things your life, my life, is to accomplish before it's done. Beforehand, ahead of time, God planned that you would do some good works. Notice, after that, he planned these good works beforehand. Before you were ever born, he planned good works for you to do. Notice, not only does he have good works for you to do, some things you're supposed to accomplish, but he also planned out your life to take certain paths. There's a certain path for your life to follow. There's a certain path for your life to go down. When you get a leading from the Lord, it's getting you on the path. When you get a check from the Lord, it's when you're getting off the path. He's been planning ahead of time things you're to accomplish. He's been setting out paths prepared ahead of time for you to take. But notice, you won't automatically walk in these paths, accomplish these good works just because God's planned it. You should take them. You should do them. You should walk the path, but it's entirely up to you. It's entirely up to me. And if we will make a decision to find out what are the good works I'm to accomplish, what are the good works that I'm to do, what are the paths that I'm to take, these things are going to lead us into something. You know what it's going to lead us into? That we should walk in them living the good life. Notice, not a good life, the good life. The good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Does God have a life prearranged ahead of time that you should live? Yes, he does. And not only does he have a life before you were ever born, planned out for you ahead of time that you should live, but this life is not a good life, the good life. There is a good life for you. And friends, I'm telling you, this good life is marked by things. It is marked by a fullness, a peace, a richness. It is marked by a life that is supernaturally touched by God, where you're living in his grace and abiding in his favor, where things are clicking and working for you. You're accomplishing good works. You're taking paths that lead to a good and better life. Friends, there are people, Christians, who love God. I mean love God, but they're struggling in life. And I'm not just talking about financially. I know some people who have a lot of money who are still struggling. Struggling with peace, struggling in their relationships, struggling in love and joy and all of these other types of things. And they mean well, but the reason why the struggle is there is because they're not on the path God had for them. They may be on their mother's path. They may be on a path they decided for themselves in college, but they're on their own path. God's path lets you not only accomplish good works, but it also leads to the good life. A specific life tailor-made for you, planned long before you ever hit this earth. Think about these things. Are you aware of the plan God has for you today? Are you aware of the life he's called you to live today? Are you knowing and doing the good works that he prearranged and pre-planned ahead of time for you to do? Friends, God desires for you to know. He desires for you to walk in these plans. He desires for you to come into a fullness of knowing Him and knowing His plan for your life. That's the reason, friends, He sent us a guide and the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us and guide us into these plans, into these paths. But it all starts, it's got to all start with this. What we just talked about, you've got to understand and you've got to, what we talked about last week, respect the fact. You've got to respect the fact that God has a plan for your life today. You've got to respect that. You've got to honor that. Because if you really believe that God's got a plan for you today, it's going to lead to you doing some things. It's going to lead to you searching out His heart to finding out what that plan is. You've got to respect the fact that God placed you on this earth to do something, to minister to someone, to do some good works. You've got to respect that. And especially if your life right now is marked by struggle, and you can look at it and say, there's no way this can be the good life, then friends, I'm telling you, you've got to respect the fact that some changes need to be made. God wants to lead you into this good life. Go over to the book of Corinthians. Go over to the book of Corinthians. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And if on the screens, can you pull up Psalms 48 and verse 14? Psalms 48 and 14 on the screens. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Fascinating passages of Scripture here. Many people read them, but I dare say few people understand them. Let's get some understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9, it says, but as it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, I still hear some pages turning, so I'll wait for you to get there. I want you to lay your eyes on this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Question. Does God have some things prepared for you? Yes, He does. But this scripture just said something. It says your eye hasn't seen it, your ear hasn't heard it, and it hasn't entered into your heart what those things are. So how in the world can you ever walk in them? God's prepared some things for you. But if your eye can't see it, and your ear can't hear it, and your heart can't figure it out, how in the world could you ever walk in the things that God has prepared for you? Well, the scriptures doesn't end there. Notice in verse 10, but, as Brother Dean always says, you got to put your butt in the right place. And notice, but God hath revealed them to us by His what? By His Spirit. Okay, so God's got some things prepared for you. Your eye can't see them, your ear can't hear them, your heart can't figure it out, but we do have some help. God's Holy Spirit is going to reveal those things to us. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. This simply means the Holy Spirit knows the will of God. He searches out the deep things of God. He knows what is the will of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? That simply means that you may be doing something, but only your heart knows your intentions. He's giving a likeness of the Holy Spirit, that you may be doing some things in the natural, but your heart has a different motive from what other people perceive. Does that make sense? And he's saying this same thing too, that people may know God, but only the Spirit of God knows what is the mind of God, knows what is in his heart. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? Why has He given us His Holy Spirit, the one who knows what is the things of God? Why has He sent to us the Holy Spirit? Tell us, Paul, that, watch this, that we may know the things which are freely given to us that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God. Notice this in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why, Paul? That we might know. Why has he sent the Holy Spirit to us? That you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Friend, do you understand what this is saying? God's got some awesome things prepared for you, but you can't figure out these things in the natural. Your eye can't see them, your ear can't hear them, your heart can't figure it out, but we're not limited to those things. We've got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's got a job. His job is to reveal those things that God has prepared for you, that you might know the things that are freely given unto you. Well, so many people have the Holy Spirit in their life. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in our life. If you're a born again child of God, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You have the Spirit of God. His job is to reveal to you some things. Well, how's He revealing them to you? How is He showing you the things that are freely given unto you? Well, Paul answers that question too. Watch what he says here in verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man, notice, your natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged by no one. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit reveals those things to us that God has prepared for us. How is He revealing it to us? Not by your natural man. Not by what you can see, touch, or feel. It's by your spirit. The plan of God, the things that God has prepared for you, it is spiritually discerned. And friends, God wants you to know these things. He's planned them specifically for you. I know we have our children's birthdays, you know, coming up, and me and my wife's birthday is coming up. And we take time to plan some things out, to get ready some things for them. You know, sometimes you may do something that's a surprise, you know, trying to make it where they can't figure it out. Why do you have those things laid up for them? Because you want to bless them. You want to be good to them. You want them to enjoy them. And friends, God is the same way. There's some things in your life that God's prepared for you. Some of those things are things you're supposed to do on this earth before you leave it. Some of those things are simply to get you in a good life where you enjoy the mess out of life. God wants you to savor it. He wants you living the good life the same way you desire your kids to live a good life. But you got to walk in His plan. And the only way for you to walk in that plan is to discern it spiritually. His Spirit is going to lead you into it. And the only way you can know what is the mind of God is to learn how the Holy Spirit reveals to your spirit what are those things that God has prepared for you. The first step, I'm just re-preaching last week's message, going up a different mountain, going up a different, same mountain, different side of it. But I want to get this into you. How does He reveal it to you? You've got to respect Him. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, you remember what that says? Let's go over there and look at it. I saw some blank stares. Cows at New Gates. Let's go over there and find out what Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 says. You remember last week, you can keep up Psalms 48 and 14 for me. And I don't need it in the Amplified, but you can leave it in the Amplified. That's fine. Psalms 48 and 14 is on the screens. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Notice what he says here in Psalms 48 and 14. This is a great scripture. We'll just look at this quickly. It says, "For this God is our God forever, and he will be our guide even unto death." Notice, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, God desires to do something. What is that that he desires to do? Guide you. To guide you. And friends, I'm telling you, you've got to be aware of that guide. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Notice what he says here. "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Notice, there's some great and mighty things which you don't know. And those things are awaiting something. What are they awaiting? Your call. The plan of God is awaiting your call. Just because God knows you need to know what to do doesn't mean God will show you what to do. I'm going to say that again. Just because God knows what you need to do does not mean God will show you what to do. God knows the things that you have need of even before you ask him. But he still requires you to ask. He requires you to call. Notice, great and mighty things, God's got them prepared for you, but you don't know them. But if you'll call unto him and ask him to show you those things, he will reveal them to you. This is the first step in being led by God. Every morning you should pray a prayer, and not just prayer over breakfast and blessing your sausage and pancakes. No, you should pray a prayer every morning that says, "God, I understand you've got a will for my life today. I understand you've got some great and mighty works that I'm supposed to do. I understand that you've got some paths that I'm supposed to take that lead to the good life. So I'm asking you, show me those things. Teach me what to do. I yield to you." And friends, when you ask, it enables God to act. Remember over there in the book of James chapter 1, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom," you don't know what to do, what should you do? Ask God to show it to you. And he says, "I will liberally give it to you." I like what the Amplified says. He doesn't abrade us. He doesn't tell us, "What are you doing asking me?" He freely gives us the wisdom that we need. But the key is, if you lack wisdom, what do you need to do? Ask. So every day you should ask the Lord, "Show me what to do." And if you're in a critical life point, psychologists tell us that every one of our lives has about 4 to 5 turning points. And decisions we make in those times will decide the rest of our lives. Turning points. If you're in one of those turning points, friends, I'm telling you, you got to wait on the Lord. And do not make a move until you know what to do. Don't let pressure so weigh down on you that you just go out and act. No, you've got to take that time to wait on the Lord. Respect him enough. No, he's got a plan for today. Ask him to reveal that plan. While you're asking, what are you doing? You're checking. He said he would guide you. He said he would show you those things. He said that those things would be spiritually discerned. So you're checking your heart. "Is there anything I'm supposed to do, Lord?" You're checking your heart. What are you looking for? Go back to last week's message. If you weren't here, you can get the CD or download it. I encourage you to. What are you looking for? You're not looking for a voice. You're not looking for a vision. You're not trying to hear something with your ears. You're not trying to see something with your eyes. No. What are you looking for? You're looking for a witness. You're looking for a knowing. You're looking for peace or lack thereof. You're looking in your heart. There's a scripture, go over to it, we're real close to it, in the book of Isaiah. I want you to see the scripture. Oh, it's wonderful. You're looking for a witness, a knowing. Isaiah, it's right in front of Jeremiah there. And Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, I want you to see this scripture. And if on the screens, can you pull up 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1 through 3? First, and you don't have to put it in the Amplified. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Notice this in our Bibles. We're in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. I love this passage of Scripture. It says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way." Notice God's got paths for you to take. How are you going to figure out those paths? You'll hear a word, not a paragraph, not a discussion. You'll hear a word behind thee saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Notice, it's just a prompting. This is the way. I feel like I need to go this way. I feel like my life needs to step in this direction. I was telling my wife last night about a story about my father. And my father was a drug addict and all of those things, and dropped out of school, and had a miraculous time with the Lord and gave his life to him. And the process of all that, became a Christian, heard about a Bible training center called Rhema. And went up there and decided he wanted to be a minister and felt that calling to do that. And so he went up there to learn about faith and all of these subjects that we preach here. And when he and my mother went up there, they were broke. They were poor, poor. Their table was made off of cinder blocks. And then plywood was the top of it. And it wasn't fastened to it. The cinder blocks, you know, you just had to keep the plywood just right on it. And the cinder blocks would hold it up. Anyway, they're sitting there up at Rhema. They've been up there for a couple of days and looking for a job and employment and all of those things. And they didn't have any money. I mean, any money. And so they're looking for things, basic necessities of life, particularly food. And they didn't have any food. And a day went by, no food. 2 days went by, no food. And so my father called up his father and told him about it. And his father said, "I'll wire you some money." And they hung up the phone. And at the end of it, the end of the conversation, just something in my father's heart didn't seem right. He knew, I don't need to depend on him to be my source. I've got to grow up and really live out this faith that I'm being taught. And so he called him back and said, "Don't send the money. Don't wire it. Don't transfer it. I need to learn to live by faith." And that was an experience for my father, to say the least. I mean, when you're a man and you're newly married, you want to provide for your wife. And my mother was coming from a background where her parents were fairly wealthy. And he wanted to take care of her the way that she was used to being taken care of. And to be sitting in an apartment that's, you know, not in a good part of town, and you're trying to eat dinner, but you don't have any food to put on your table made out of cinder blocks and plywood, it can be a humbling experience. And so for a day, even after that, he's praying, asking the Lord what to do. And in the middle of praying, this is what I mean, a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." He just gets a prompting. Something in his heart. And he feels like he should go to the grocery. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You don't have any food. You don't have any money. That's the reason why you're praying, to get money, to go to the grocery. Why would you just go to the grocery? But he feels like in his heart, "I need to go to the grocery store." He didn't see a voice or hear a voice. He didn't see a vision. Just on the inside, he felt like it's a witness. It's a knowing. I know I need to do this. I know I need to go down to the grocery. So they went and got in the car. And to keep the car doors from popping open, they had, have you ever seen those, like the big rubber deals in the back of a truck that have the hooks on the end of them that you use to, you know, bind stuff and tie it down where it doesn't fly out? Well, they had one of those connected to the door handle on the driver's side, and the other one of the end of it connected to the, they had two of them that were latched in the center. And, you know, you'd open up the driver's door and take off the little rubber deal, sit in, hook that side back up, then unhook the center deal, and the person in the passenger would get in. Then you hooked it up where that way no one fell out of the car when you were driving. They were poor. The seat had a pole that held it up, a little broomstick that he had cut in half, and he propped it up so, you know, he could have a little back support. And occasionally, if he hit a bump, that stick would fall out, and he'd fall flat back while he was driving. It's poor. Well, they went to the grocery, and they get out of the car and hook it up where the doors stay locked, and they had to keep the windows rolled down just enough where he could reach in and unlock it by lifting up that strap. They walk through the store, and, you know, they don't have any money. So they've got this cart, and they're going all throughout the store looking at all this food that they don't have any money to buy. And really, it's sinking in with my father. I'm failing. I've got this woman here, and we're walking down a grocery store. I don't even know why I'm here. I just feel like I need to be here. And I don't even have any money to put any food in this cart to feed my wife. But he just feels like in his heart, this is what I'm supposed to do. Well, they walk around that grocery store for about an hour. Nothing happens. Puts in the cart. They're walking back to their car. Get in the car, you know, unlock it. Drive back to the apartment there. And get in, and he's about to a place where he's about to cry. And right about that moment, he hears a knock on the door. He opens up the door, and there's a lady standing there. And she says, "I don't know why I'm doing this." But she said, I saw you in the grocery, you and your wife pushing the cart down the aisle. And she said, "I thought it was strange that you guys weren't putting anything in." And she said, I kind of saw you there, and when I was checking out, I saw you put the cart up. And I kind of, you know, went out at the same time through the doors with you to put up my groceries into my car and saw y'all get into your car. And when I saw you get into your car, I just felt like I needed to follow you and follow you back to your apartment here. And she said, "I just feel like I need to give you all the groceries I just bought for my family." And they went back and you know, you can imagine how in all they were of the Lord. Went and opened up the trunk, and it was filled with groceries that they could never afford at that time. I mean, filled with nice things, steaks and all the stuff, that not the value brands, the real deal. I mean, filled with all the stuff that they could never imagine buying then. They loaded up, tears streaming down their face, looking at the goodness of God. That was a good day. It was a good day. What made it a good day? They were led that day. Every day of your life, written down in the book. Every day of your life, written down. That day, they had a good day. Why was it a good day that day? They were led that day. They were led. Friend, I'm telling you, God's got a good day for you today. Got a good month. He's got a good year. He's got a good life for you. But the only way for you to walk in that life is to know the path that he has for you. On that day, the path for my father was to go around to the grocery store and walk around with a buggy, not being able to buy anything, but doing it under the obedience of the Lord. What's your day like? What's your year like? What's your month like? Do you know what to do? Somebody said, "I don't know." Then don't do anything. In 1 Chronicles, we'll close with this, chapter 17 and verse 1. It said, "Now it came to pass, as David said in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.'" Verse 2. "And Nathan said unto David," watch this, "'do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee.'" Keep it there. Notice, Nathan looked at him and said, "Do all that's in your heart." How's God leading you? He's leading you through your heart, through your inward man. Do all that is in your heart. If it's in your heart to do it, whether it's to go to the grocery and you don't have any money, or to go minister to someone, or to take a job, or to befriend someone, or to get out of a relationship, do whatever is in your heart to do, for God will be with you as long as you're following your heart. Now notice this in verse 3. I love this. "And it came to pass the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying," verse 4, Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Now notice, Nathan just told him, God is with you, do all that is in your heart. But then God prompts Nathan, says, go back to him and tell him, it's good for him to build me a house, but it's not my plan for him to. Go tell him to stop. And so this is a perfect example of being led. Do all that is in your heart to do. Don't wait for a voice. Don't wait for a vision. You're not trying to see anything in the natural. If it's in your heart to do it, even if it doesn't make sense, and the Bible said that in 1 Corinthians, that sometimes that prompting would seem like foolishness to you. Even if it doesn't make sense, do all that is in your heart. And when you're getting ready to do something that is outside the path, God will check you. He'll come back and tell you, okay, that may be good, but it's not for you to do. Do all that is in your heart. Keep going in that direction. But if you get a check, if something's not right, back off. Call upon the Lord. Say, God, what is it? What do you want me to do? And wait for peace to come again. Don't make a move until you get that peace. Friend, God wants to lead you into a good life. I promise you, it's better than anything you could ever possibly imagine. Your eye can't see it, your ear can't hear it, your heart can't figure it out, but God will reveal it to you by His Spirit. Take the time to check on the inside. Ask God to show you. Call upon the Lord and say, show me, Lord, today what you want me to do for today, what you want me to do in my life. Call upon Him and He will show you how in your heart. He'll prompt you. You'll hear something on the inside. You need to do this. It's a knowing you need to do it. Follow that. And friends, I'm telling you, your heart and your conscience is your safest guide. It's leading you to the good life. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Man, you've been a wonderful audience today. Before you leave, let me pray for you. Father, I thank this body of believers here. I thank you, Lord, that you